recorder is now going.
Non-voting member or ex officio or whatever, we don't really have a quorum. Is this recording?
It is, yes, yes.
Okay.
So we're all set.
Okay. And so it's more of an informal meeting to think about how we want to proceed. Wait, this is different.
Is this what you're looking
yeah.
for?
Yeah.
Over there, because that's the instruction.
Oh, hi.
Whoa. Oh, wonderful.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
So, given that, I'll call the meeting to order, but I think it can just be an informal conversation about what we want to recommend moving forward, and it looks like are these minutes that need to be signed, note, sign off sheet. Okay, pass that around. And at this point, it's a little past 6:30, and I would like to call the February 2025 meeting of the Ulster County Climate Smart Committee to order. And the members are myself present, Elizabeth Broz is present, and Nassim Hadowi.
Yeah.
Is a non-voting member is present, and also Kristen Chara. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I think, can we skip the pledge, given this, or do you want to do it?
Okay.
We all pledge allegiance, but we're going to get to the meat of the matter. So to discuss the future plans for the Climate Smart Committee, Europa is not here, but we can pass on to her. She was away. She was on vacation, and she got back and had all this stuff piled up. So I haven't had a chance to get her take on it, but also the fact that Kristen is here. Mm-hmm. My thought and suggestion is that we focus in on several really powerful educational events. One might be a webinar. We also do want to do, even if it's scaled down, the Climate Row at Ulster County Fair. We don't have to, have four tables and 20 displays, but at least, the one booth, and that means basically staffing 15 slots over the course of the time that the fair is open. Also, parallel to that, Chris Hewitt is reopening the question of composting at the fair for all the food waste. And
I forgot, who's Chris Hewitt?
Chris is now chair of Energy Environment. He's a legislator from Rochester.
Oh, okay.
And one of his focuses is on using hemp for insulation and hempcrete, and he thinks that's a valuable economic development for agriculture in this area, and so he's been working on that, but he's also working with Greenway. Not that we know that Greenway would be the vendor, because the Ag Society would do an RFP, but Greenway does the Garlic Festival and other events and has good experience. But one way or another, what we did 25 years ago was we collected all the food waste. We had a place for the vendors to put fryer grease for, I forget what the term when they reprocess it.
Biodiesel?
Pardon?
To use for biodiesel or?
Well, yeah, it gets processed, and there's a term for processing fryer grease.
There is a lot of fried food at that fair.
Yes. and they were glad to have a place to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of the cardboard and the other food waste and the bottles and cans and everything, we had a team of people that went around and collected it. So the vendors were able to focus on selling their product and not have to. At the end of the day, they brought their own stuff. But while the festival was going on, so that it didn't pile up, they collected cardboard boxes, cans, washed them out, flattened, whatever needed to be done. And we had 60 people that rotated through, and they got free passes to the fair and everything. Anyway, we can get into details about that, but I just think it's long overdue. And apparently, I think the reason that Chris is working on this now, I think that the agreement between the county and the Ag Society for the Ulster County Fair is coming up for renewal. So we want to make sure that agreement includes food waste composting, which is the law, but the law is based on, at this point, half a ton a week of food waste.
But most of the schools don't meet it, so they don't have to, I think, right?
Well, that's a little bit of a separate discussion, but partly it's the way pollution prevention, PP2, has the formula that they're using. So the schools operate, I don't know, 35 weeks a year out of 52. But they're dividing the total by 52, which makes it lower. So that's a correction we need to recommend for that law, and it's been kind of on my to-do list. But I think we've done some trainings that included, for example, who's the woman from Lamont Dougherty? She does climate research in Greenland. It'll come to me. And she's an incredible speaker, and we've invited her to speak, not for this committee, but
agenda. Yeah.
What's that?
I need the agenda real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me keep one and pass those. And there are also people from Marist, New Paltz, you know, the colleges in the area, and just other really excellent speakers. And my thought was maybe four times over the course of the year we would have a training, not a training, but an informative webinar. We have over 100 people on the Climate Smart list. And if it was a webinar and they didn't have to go anywhere, and it was really interesting. So my thought would be to do that, do the fair, and then meet really to focus on recommendations to the county, which is our mission with regard to climate solutions. And rather than trying to do the networking, I'm not sure if there's something more we're supposed to do to...
No, I think it's just if anyone hops on. But with the new meeting time, I don't know if people got the memo.
Yeah, because we're changing
that.
So that is my suggestion, and I'd like to hear what other people think. And also, Kristen is now the chair of the EMC. Yeah.
Oh.
Congratulations.
That's great.
Which means that she sets the agenda, and if we have some understanding of how we want to move forward, you know, there could be a short slot. And then if there is more information, that can expand. People can let you know and say, you know, we need a little more time because we want to report on this, that, or the other. But that... either Kristen, or if you can't make one of these meetings, I can come to the EMC if we have something to report.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, rather than trying to, I've been trying to encourage networking through this committee, but that was very strong prior to COVID and early on in COVID. And then I don't know, meeting fatigue set in, and that has not been the case. People are still sending in their reports, which I'll circulate the folder because I believe they're in here. And just, you know, take a look and pass it around. And so... we can, I really think the EMC is where that sharing should occur anyway, and it doesn't have to be long, but if somebody, some Climate Smart Task Force is doing great things, the audience is right there, mm-hmm. rather than hoping people hop on the call.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not yet had a chance to speak with Europa because she was away, and but we can do that and then see where it goes. But I've been doing all the talking, so I'm going to stop and want to hear everybody else's thoughts.
One thing I just wanted to add from earlier in talking about the composting stuff, I believe they added money in the budget this time around for the Zero Core, like to hire part-time people for events. I don't know if that was going to be for the fair or for Garlic Festival, but I remember that going on during when they were passing the budget. I think that was Chris Hewitt's amendment.
Okay, and that is that's that summer program for internships for climate change?
Yeah, this was like a separate allotment of money to hire people part-time just for the composting or waste disposal stuff for special events. And I think that they put money aside, but it's not like contracted with the organization. They probably have to do a request for proposals, but I believe that was added in when they passed the budget. So I don't,
ooh,
that might be something to just speak with Chris about, because I don't know if that's on the ledge side or if that's something they put in like a department budget and they handle that, but that's something if you're interested in like the push for compost management stuff for the fair, to follow up with Chris, because I don't know more than
and
that.
And he is pushing for it, because...
Yes, yeah, no, that was his amendment, I believe.
But even just today we were at the Association of Counties, and he brought that up.
Oh, okay.
So it's a high priority for him. And he and Eric Stewart are in communication with the people from the fair, and there was some note that the composting is more important than Climate Row. And I wrote back and I said, no, they're both important because they're different.
Mm-hmm.
One is the actual maintenance, and that is a very important, good example. Unfortunately, one year they just put these racks with plastic bags and expected people to compost. And really, the way composting worked was that it was that we stationed somebody at the area where people gather, you know, the covered area for food, you know, kind of like an open air cafeteria, and there was a clear place to put it. And even at the Great Hudson River Revival, the way they're so successful is that the stations, you know, you put your paper here, your cans here, your plastic there, and the compost, and they're staffed mm-hmm. with volunteers. And I think that's true at the Garlic Festival as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people that are willing to do that. We have the time to do the outreach. So that's, I think, those two things for the fair, and then collectively we can think about who might be good speakers. And so, you know, maybe we have two meetings and then get the word out and a really good speaker and then a couple more meetings. We can figure that out. But okay, I'm still doing all the talking.
Maybe you want to do like a report out of municipal committees since we just looked over Woodstocks.
Yeah.
Well, I was also interested in just hearing like what your thinking is, because I'm still a little confused how the Climate Smart Task Force or various groups would then be like integrated into the EMC, because I think I've been to like one EMC meeting mm-hmm. in my life, so
yeah,
I don't even know how they work. Like, it meets once a month?
Yeah, it meets once a month. And then we've been having the Department of the Environment has also sponsored a yearly get together.
Right, I've been to that.
Okay. And the way the EMC meetings are structured, they have a guest speaker every month on some, you know, environmentally related topic, and then there's some business of the committee. We hear the Department of Environment. A representative is there, and they report on what's going on with them, what their initiatives are. They have a representative that goes to the legislature subcommittee, environment, and
yeah,
I don't remember the full title.
It's a standing committee, and it's energy, environment,
energy.
And sustainability.
Yeah. So we have a member that reports on that to the EMC, what the accomplishments or whatever the initiatives are from the legislature. And then each town has a representative from their CAC. They can also have people at large members of the county. So each town could have two people on the EMC. That way, but typically, it's for the most part, only one per town.
Was it for Kingston, Julie?
For
Kevin?
I don't think we have someone from Kingston right now. Oh, Emily.
Oh, Emily
Hauser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And the problem for her is that her meetings are. The EMC meeting conflicts with her meeting, so she has to come late.
That's too bad.
But and so then there's a period where the
and that happens here.
No, it's at the
SUNY Ulster, the Kingston campus.
Oh. Yeah,
yeah.
It's in a classroom, and we have it also on Zoom with a meeting owl set up. So a lot of people, the people who live, you know, far away. For the most part, zoom in.
Okay.
And that's good.
So you have that option. because we don't have that option, really, right?
We do and we don't. We still have to have in-person quorum.
I see.
We have to be in person, the people that are actually appointed, which right now is you and me, and you're non-voting. That's another topic, is we want to get a business represented. We want to get a representative for all five positions. And it's been really hard to get somebody from Public Works. I used to be the one from Public Works, but now I'm just on Energy Environment, so we have to find somebody else, and haven't been able to yet, but we'll see. And then a business representative, a representative of a municipality, and a representative of an environmental group. So those are the official appointments. And Peter Criswell, I'm quite sure, will appoint whoever we suggest, but we need to talk about that and see if we can brainstorm the missing to fill those vacancies. So,
I mean, do you think we should? And you have like high turnout, right? For how many people usually come every month?
About a dozen.
A dozen people.
Yeah, and then we have more online. So, and they're actually the EMC is taking on a big project this year, which is they're hosting the NYSAC conference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In Kingston. So there is a subgroup working on that. And then there's a round table part of the meeting at the end where all the municipalities report what they're doing. And so that's where we could, because a lot of the CACs also have climate smart task forces, or so they could also report out what their climate smart group is doing at that time. As long as we have enough time for that. That's sometimes we, you know, try to stop at 8:30. So, you know, one thing that's in the back of my mind about Climate Smart is that there is an action where you get points for being a member of a regional group, a climate-related group.
Yeah.
So.
Points through
the Climate Smart Communities program.
Oh, okay.
So I wonder if there's some way that we could, and I've seen people use their membership on the EMC as in their submission for points. So that would be kind of a way to motivate people to come to the EMC meeting and be a part of it, if they could say, well, we get points because we deserve points because we are a part of this council.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider having it be a line on the agenda, and if there's, like any other agenda item, if there's a lot of information, then that gets shared, and if there's just an announcement of an upcoming webinar or whatever. That way, if there's nothing to say, there's nothing to say, as in any agenda. But if it could be an agenda item, that could allow that kind of networking and sharing to go on. And whatever we're actually focused on, for example, if we decide to do the Ulster County Fair and we need volunteers as we're gearing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also just try to appeal to Kim to come back and not necessarily be on the committee, but help with that, because she did such a great job. And last year I kind of took over because she wasn't able to do it. But this year I have three challengers to my legislative seat, so I'm a little distracted. Mm-hmm. I don't have the focus that I had last year, so maybe Kim would come back and help with that. She was so good at it. And any other ideas?
Well, so did you say that you would be willing to make it an agenda item?
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, people, during our roundtable phase, people are already, the towns are already talking about climate.
Yeah.
Smart, you know, in addition to CAC activities.
Okay.
Very frequently. So I think, at least in that portion of the meeting, in terms of, you were mentioning that maybe I would attend this meeting and then I could report at EMC, this is what the Ulster County Climate Smart Committee is doing, or what
yeah.
they're, so I think I can do that.
Sure. And then if ever you couldn't, like if you had to miss one of these meetings, then I can, because you know that I go to the EMC meetings periodically anyway, usually if I'm looking for help with something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's very nice of you. I mean, I guess for me, I feel like we need to, like, connect with all, try to reconnect with all of the people who, you know, used to join the meetings and are still active in their Climate Smart task forces, and maybe we should do, like, a survey to ask them, you know, sort of, like, what are they interested in, you know, what level of engagement would they want to have. Maybe we could brainstorm some questions. It just seems like we have 100 people across the county who used to be very involved. I mean, not all of them, but, you know, we did used to have a lot of engagement. I get what you're saying, Manna, about not wanting to give up on our official Climate Smart Task Force at this moment. It feels depressing. I mean, I work on climate pretty much, like, full-time with my job, but... you know, at the local level. At the same time, you know, how can we exchange best practices? All right, I mean, that was really supposed to be, like, the point of it, was to kind of inspire, have towns inspiring each other with different, you know, lessons learned and kind of what the latest of what's going on. You know, as part of the problem, right, meeting fatigue, maybe if we, I don't know if we could switch it to, like, every other month. I mean, one problem that I think exists is just, like, the way the meeting's organized. Like, there's no Google Calendar, you know? There's not, like, a Google Calendar
uh-huh.
invite. I mean, or Microsoft, whatever, what Outlook mm-hmm. invite. I mean, there's mm-hmm. no, like,
yeah.
I don't have it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
yeah.
like, I have 20 million things that I'm trying to remember. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of a basic thing about organizing is, like, send an invite, right? So, I didn't even get the invite, the reminder today, if Lizvet sent one. I mean, maybe she sent one to my, like, personal Gmail.
I don't think there was a reminder. I think it was just the original invite.
Yeah, but, like, how are people, I mean, the only reason I knew about it is because you texted me, Manna, like, can you come, like, tomorrow or something, you know, whatever you texted me in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
But that's, like, not a way to work. And I'm not trying to criticize.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I haven't stepped up to do these things either. But it's just, like, it's not that hard to create, like, a calendar invite and do these basic things. So, you know, it's like if we had kind of nudged people more about coming, sent the invite, you know, encouraged people to join even on Zoom, right? Because, yeah, like, I don't mind coming. And I'm sure we could probably rope, like, one other person into coming in person to meet the quorum. But you really want to have more people, at least, like, you're, you know, participating remotely, right, to make it more substantive, right? So I guess, yeah, I would say a survey is an idea we could do. The other thing, I mean, I don't know how much effort I really want to put into the fair, to be honest. I mean, you know, my experience with the fair was, like, I don't know. I get, like, why you want to have a presence there, but it's also just feels very uphill battle with the fair. You know, I mean, that audience is so, like, not interested in a lot of the time. And isn't there some other, like, lower-hanging fruit around that we could be connecting with? I mean, I would just, random off the top of my head, I was just looking at the gay guide to the Hudson Valley, you know, going to some big gay event, you know, Hudson Valley gay event, and having a table, like, not to make stereotype, but I feel like that would be at least trying to break out of our usual suspects of climate and environmental people, but going to a group that might be a little more open-minded about climate. It's like the fair people, it's just, I don't know, it's like seeing all these like scary Trump t-shirts and, you know, it just feels very like, I don't know, I shouldn't say this, but it feels very going into like enemy territory a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like, not that I'm saying we shouldn't try to communicate with across the aisle, but if we do, like, having climate be the lead message, like, is not helpful. Like, I mean, I've seen a lot of, like, polling that's been done about how, like, the things you want to message on, the lead things you want to message on for, like, you know, your average person or a person more to the right of the political spectrum is about, like, clean air, clean water. Like, climate is, like, a polarizing issue. So if they see the, like, climate, you know, as kind of the lead thing, I don't know. It's like, I just feel like strategically, I don't know if it's, like, worth the time and investment when are we really, like, making that much of an impact with people. Mm-hmm. To me, it felt a little like pulling teeth at that event.
I had a different sense.
Really?
And the way I worked it was I asked people where they were from. I took them over to the map and, you know, showing which municipalities had climate smart and which needed to. And if they needed to, we offered them support in helping to create it in their community. And then there were enough different, you know, there were games and displays and stuff that, and what I think most people were interested in was the little house with the heat pumps and so forth.
But I mean, coming out of the event, like how many people then actually did something, you know, or got connected or joined a newsletter? I mean, I just know for like our campaign, New Yorkers for Clean Power, you know, I don't think that we probably got like anyone to sign up for our newsletter. I mean, people just weren't that interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just a little, you know, and part of it, I think, is, you know, it's tough with the messaging. I mean, we're just, everything's so polarized right now. So when you're trying to like have that kind of broader message to people who are like closed-minded about climate, you know, and listening to, you know, Trump saying, you know, wind is terrible and forget EVs and like all the things, drill baby drill, you know, where it's, so I don't know, I'm just saying, like, me personally, I'd rather like put my energy into like outreach efforts where I feel like we have a chance at like turning people on and making people like excited to participate rather than like banging my head into a brick wall. But, I mean, I'm glad that you had a positive experience at the fair, and I love the idea of trying to green the fair, because, I mean, I love the idea of trying to green every festival, because it's always so depressing when you go to these places and you see all the garbage and all of the waste and all of the things. But those are some of my concerns about, you know, just spending a ton of time on the fair. I think the idea of doing some webinars is good. I would gladly help with that, like informational webinars. One that I already was planning on doing through NYCP was having Jen present on all of the like exciting things that the county's doing on climate. I went to her State of the County last week, and it was so inspiring. Like, it was just, you know, very uplifting, given the horrible nightmare that is happening in Washington. You know, just hearing about all the positive initiative that the county's taking, so we were planning on doing that anyway. I mean, we would be inviting people across the state, but, you know, could make a special effort to invite the Ulster County Climate Smart people. You know, we could, and I guess one of the questions, if we did a survey, is like, would you be more interested in participating in a webinar during the day or in the evening? Because that's another thing, like, people only have so many evenings. People are tired. It's hard for me in the evening now that I have a small child. And do you really want to spend your evening at a webinar, or would you do like a lunch hour? Can you get a break from work and join? So what would you be more likely to join? So I think we could ask people that, you know, and then getting to feature other kind of great initiatives that people could learn about and get excited about that are happening in the county, I think, you know, would be terrific. And I would definitely be interested in working with you on that, Manna. So those were some of my, like, just thoughts, I guess, off the top of my head about where we're at and how we, and would love to think about if you, you know, you agree that doing the survey is a good idea, like, what are some of the other questions, you know, that we could include in the survey. I mean, I don't think it should be too long, but just to gauge kind of, you know, where people are at.
I think that's a great idea, and I have, we probably all have at one time or another used Google Forms for a survey.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we can ask the staff to do that. I think we'll need to pull it together, and then Liz will send it out to the whole list. And, you know, and for now, let's hold off on the fair and revisit that. But I also think, you know, maybe we can put together a packet of a couple displays and some compelling handouts or something that we could take to, for example, the Garlic Festival. If we can get a team of people that want to, so let's revisit that, and maybe between now and a month from now, we can have a draft survey and then share it and see, because I think that'll be very helpful. If people will fill that out, it can guide us in terms of where we put our energy.
Yeah. I mean, if you want, I can start a Google Doc and I can share it, and like we can all just like throw questions on it and see what, you know, what other questions we think we'd want to ask people.
That's,
I mean,
great.
One of the questions could be, do you participate in the EMC meeting? I mean, you know, are you a part of the climate or the Conservation Advisory Council, right? Because I know there's like a lot of overlap. I used to be on the Kingston Conservation Advisory Council, but then it was just like after I had my kid, like too many, I had to cut down on my meetings. So I just went down to Climate Smart. And, you know, I'm kind of lazy about doing like the written report. I usually just come and like say, this is what Kingston's doing. You know, so it's like, would people, I mean, what do we do with the reports anyway? They just kind of go into the archive?
The reports from the towns?
Yeah.
I think the value is in sharing them.
Yeah.
So that's a way to know what Curly and Woodstock and a few others, Kingston usually. Who sends it?
Well, I usually just like say it at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Ken used to report.
He still does.
Well, he does it to report, but he doesn't come to the meeting.
Right.
So he's someone who have you ever talked to him about why he stopped coming?
I think he was at the reorg meeting, Ken Panza, yeah. I'm trying to think if he had, I don't remember if he mentioned anything.
I think he kind of has his own way of doing it.
I think he likes the
EMC meeting.
He said that's kind of his bread and butter of things is like something engineer. Like he like focusing on like the land use policy stuff. Like that. That's I think that's what he was kind of saying, that that's more his thing.
Right. And Manna, do the meetings have for the committee to continue? Do they have meetings have to be monthly?
They don't have to, although that is in the founding legislation. So it used to be the Global Warming Committee, and then Laura updated it to the Climate Smart Committee, and then they formed the countywide task force. But that essentially only meets once a year, and so.
Because I was thinking, I mean, maybe that's a question that if we said, and if it's a possibility, if we had quarterly meetings, you know, would you be more likely to attend? Like, would you prioritize coming? You know, I mean, we could just be honest and, like, the email outreach, like, we've seen a real drop-off in participation during the pandemic and before. I mean, I remember we had a full room, and it was really interesting getting to hear what all the towns were doing.
Yeah.
But maybe just, yeah, people, like, maybe it's people are sort of just OD'd on, like, Zoom meetings and meetings in general. And
yeah, because they have their own task force meetings.
Right.
And
it just gets to be too much.
Yeah.
But maybe if it was a quarterly thing, maybe if there was refreshments, I don't know.
Well, my thought would be to have it be a sharing on a quarterly basis.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
But have us meet monthly to plan educational events, develop a survey, figure out what... when I said educational events, I meant like webinars, but what community events we want to try to reach out, whether it's us or we have the list of the people who volunteered for the last couple of years at
the fair.
Row.
Right.
And they, some of them might be willing to go to the Garlic Festival or, you know, some other events. There's no longer Great Hudson River Revival, but there are, you know, many other events. And I like the idea of, you know, going to places where people are already gathering. And I hear what you're saying about the fair, but let's revisit that.
I know. I mean, I'm sorry if I sound judgmental. I just feel like it's, you know, when you have to kind of know your audience, and I feel like that particular audience is just not super, hasn't, in my experience, being there. I haven't been there a ton, but also what Melissa said, like, not
they're there
to receptive to, climate action.
That's not what they're there for.
Yeah,
that's
right. They're there to have a good time, right, to go on the rides, to see the animals, and, any steps we can take to make it greener. And also, the years ago, we used to include the Read and Write program from Kingston, and those kids would come and they would help collect and they would help flatten the cardboard, and they really were active volunteers, and in exchange, they got to go on the rides. And it was... it expanded their horizons from, you know, the neighborhood in Kingston, to, so.
Yeah. Well, we have also the Kingston Earth Fair, and we have had some cohorts of high school students who've gotten credit for volunteering at that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I don't know whether high school students would also want to volunteer at the county fair, but...
Well, also,
and the Kingston Earth Fair is another opportunity to, like, if we had something like an ongoing webinar series or something, right, to invite people to participate.
Probably also helpful that it's during the school year, that in terms of
the
involving.
Yeah, that's true. Rather than
students.
The summer when it's
yeah.
like 90 degrees and people would rather be at the pool.
And they're all, in camp or
right.
their summer job or
right.
whatever.
Right, that's true.
But the Climate Corps are summer volunteers, and I think some of them did participate last
time. Weren't you a climate corp person?
Yeah, last year I wasn't participating in the fair stuff, but the year before I was heavily, and I was, like, organizing with Kim and everything, and I was there, like, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, it is a lot, and...
It's a lot.
It is, yeah, it's a lot, and then it just depends on your audience. It's good to get the kids, and then sometimes if you get them with the molecular GHG molecule candy game, you can get the parents, because they'll be waiting there and try to talk to them, but sometimes it is just passing by. People don't want to, that's not what they're there for, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know, which is the same, I mean, at most festivals, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we've tried to table it, like, music festivals with this Rock for Renewables initiative, and, you know, even, like, hippie-ish kind of, like, boomer, like, I mean, festivals that you would think is, like, the perfect audience of people who are going to be, like, into this, and then they're just, like, not interested because they're there to party.
Yeah, that's the big thing, what they're there for.
Yeah.
I think it also would help if you have something specific that you're pushing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for the... This last couple of years, we've had all these incentives and tax breaks for doing things like installing heat pumps and EVs and so on. And so that was something that we could, you know, sort of organize around. And, you know, and the message was, you can look, you're saving money, or, you know, so it wasn't just climate. Right. It was, you know.
Comfort.
Yeah.
Affordability.
There's also the... Energy Hub, the Hudson Valley Energy Hub. I don't know if we asked them if they would have a table.
Yeah.
But they are supposed to be connecting people, especially low to moderate income people, with programs.
My experience is sort of in between you two, because it seemed like the people who were stopping to actually talk to us were already on board, you know. And
okay.
So... You did get those people, but then there was long periods where people would just kind of give you the side eye while they would, like, hurry past, you know, and so, you know.
It's a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely depends the day you're there, too, I feel like, if it's the senior day or, like, the, yeah, it just depends, I feel like, time of day, too, like, mornings were much easier. And then evenings, I feel like it was just a different crowd of people, a lot more like...
Yeah, it was date night and...
Yes, yeah, a lot more like teenagers not interested in stuff.
But yeah, I hear what you're saying, Kristen. Maybe if we had a more focused thing that we were trying to get people to do, that would, you know, be helpful.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to develop a survey.
Okay.
And I'll... summarize this at Energy Environment, you know, what we said and what we're thinking of. And then I guess the one thing I would like us to see if we can come up with, or if not now, by the next meeting, is some educational event that we can do remotely that may get people back, you know, that when we send out the survey and we announce, and I'll be darned if I can remember this woman's name, and I know it as well as I'm sitting here, but on the other hand, her research is, she's very knowledgeable and a very good speaker, but her research is Greenland, and, you know, for most people, that's another part of the world.
Well, I think we've all been thinking about Greenland a little more often recently.
Oh, yes?
Given we may invade Greenland.
Because we're going to buy it,
right? I know, you can't make this stuff up. It's just so, all so horrible. Well, what did you think about the idea of having Jen present all of the great climate stuff that the county is doing?
That,
I feel
think
like
that
would
be
a
great.
Draw. I think
that
would
be great.
That.
And if we do, over the course of the year, three or four of these, I also have a pretty good PowerPoint on climate science, which might be of interest. I mean, I can just send that around so that people can look at it. And I've given it, I think I developed it for like the League of Women Voters. Oh no, that was garbage. I get my issues mixed up. But anyway, you know what I'll do? I'll send it around to us and look at it, and then we can discuss that next time. All right, are we okay to go through the other agenda items real quick? Are there any local municipal, do you want to share Hurley or Kingston or any?
Well, in Hurley, we have the Zero Waste Hurley initiative that's still going with Greenway. We hired them to do a multi-phase project, and they just finished phase one and reported on it, where they've observed the operations at our transfer station and collected data on what types of garbage people, you know, what were sort of the percentages of each thing and how it worked and how maybe the transfer station could work better. And they also recruited several, like 20-plus families in Hurley, and they actually went into their homes and introduced them to their composting system, which includes a bin with their composting medium that helps the food scraps break down.
Huh.
And faster, but also with no odor, so you could have your bin like inside your garage.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you cover it with this medium, and there's no bugs, you know, flies flying around or anything like that. And then you take that once a week or at your leisure to the transfer station to drop off. A lot of families can now have compost bins in their yards, because one of the problems that a lot of people in Hurley have is attracting animals,
right?
Especially bears.
But these protect the...
Yeah, it's because it cuts out the odor.
Hmm.
They've
the Greenway thing.
Yeah, they've been the people who are using it, especially like West Hurley, you know, where it's very wooded and there are a lot of bears who've had bear problems in the past. They've been saying that, you know, this works. You know, you can compost. Yeah. So.
That's great. Well, that's the kind of thing that we could do. You know, I mean, that could be a speaker on a webinar or like on a meeting, just even presenting about that system. I think would really interest people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for webinars, just
they spoke at the EMC meeting in January, the Greenway folks.
Okay, and that.
And is the EMC meeting open to like anyone?
Yeah. Public meeting.
Yep. Okay, so, and then Greenway. These are the kinds of things that I think will be valuable and get people re-engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could start a list of, like, different topics.
Yeah, I am, you know, two, and possibly my climate science.
I mean, I hate our composting thing. It, like, does not work very well, and it smells. So yeah. I'd like to learn about it, too.
So you're in the city of Kingston.
Yeah.
So are you enrolled in their program?
No, we have, like, our backyard thing.
Mm.
I mean, to have to, like, bring it somewhere, like, forget it. Mm. We're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for us to just have the backyard, but I don't love our thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be interested in learning about one that's doesn't smell.
Mm-hmm.
But are you finished with your report?
Well, we're also, our CAC is, we're doing an NRI for the town of Hurley, and so I'm working on the climate section of the NRI. And that's something that if you meet climate smart guidelines for your NRI, you get points for incorporating climate into a section into your NRI.
Great.
You're doing such good things.
We're trying. We have a small group, but
it's
wonderful. Yeah. We have a nice, well-regarded website of our own, Climate Smart Hurley, and which is run by Lynn Bailey, who's one of our members. You know Lynn.
Yeah.
And we're also Peter McKnight's been working with Mana Joe on the renewable energy implementation plan. So it sounds like that sort of has reached an end in terms of the plan itself.
Well, we were planning to do a winter session or winter spring session, and we were waiting to see what I needed to know what the legislative calendar and Peter knew what his calendar was going to be like, and then I got here with 2-3 challengers, so I'm not sure if I'll know better soon whether or not there's enough energy to go forward with my campaign. So I'm not sure. I'm thinking it might have to be next summer, or like a spring-summer rather than winter-spring. We have been making really significant progress, not so much with the solar mapping training, and maybe we will be able to do it. Peter and I need to just confirm. But we have been meeting the 70 County 70x30 Renewable Energy Working Group. Has been meeting regularly and also meeting with Central Hudson. And in that case, we have kind of focused in on New Paltz as a pilot for how to get Central Hudson to work with the municipalities and the developers. And all of us on that working group do support the idea of the Hudson Valley Power Authority, but right now Central Hudson is our utility. And whether or not that transitions to a power authority is a different question. And they've been very cooperative and very impressed. And Tom Poulton and Jolanda from New Paltz have created a spreadsheet with, the land size, whether it's going to be rooftop or ground-mounted, all the information for about a dozen projects, one of which is the county, it was called the Government Operations Center, and now it's called the
Emergency Communications Center.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ECC.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the anchor project. But if you add up these 10 or 12 other projects along that corridor, it is somewhere between 20 and 30 megawatts. It's significant. And so the question is, how to ensure there's hosting capacity, who's going to pay for the grid upgrades. The idea would be that it would be shared instead of typically a grid upgrade goes to the one first developer and then they try to get the money back from others that join in. But this would be a shared, coordinated project. I actually believe that the people that are working with us and in communication want to see it succeed, but they work for Central Hudson, so they have to be sure that it's done in a way that protects the Central Hudson Fortis interests. But we really are making significant progress. Central Hudson annually holds an energy summit, and Simon and I and others from the group have attended in the past. This year they're making a slot for Amanda Gatto, who's now the supervisor in New Paltz, and took the training, and it was central to developing New Paltz's solar mapping plan. And they're giving her a spot on the agenda for the Energy Summit, which is mainly to let developers know what regulations have changed since the previous year. That's why they hold the summit, is to update people that are thinking of developing renewable energy in their territory. So we feel like we are making progress, and that this could end up being a model of how they can work with municipalities, also a model of how to develop a corridor rather than kind of spot one here, one there. That doesn't help them in terms of defining their plans for grid upgrades. So that takes care of another agenda item.
Okay. Did you want to hear the Kingston update?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we do.
Well, as usual, Julie is a busy bee. Julie Noble in Kingston, doing lots of exciting things, including, as I mentioned, we have our Earth Fair coming up, which is going to be May 10th. Again, down at the Rondout Plaza area, the Hinchy Promenade. And in partnership with Clearwater and Kingston Radio and the Maritime Museum. So we're very busy with that.
When is it?
It is May 10th. It's the day after Mother's Day.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing for the last few years, which is actually very nice because the weather is like so much more reliably good in May than it is in April. And you don't have to compete with all the other Earth Day events.
Yeah.
So
it's the Saturday of Mother's Day.
Sunday.
Weekend.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Saturday, the day before Mother's Day. That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mother Earth. Julie is working on this TENS. The city is working on this thermal energy network project at City Hall, and meeting with all of these different various campuses that have similar projects, so that's kind of in the works. They've been working on an issue with Central Hudson about some municipal solar installations moving forward. There's a big project at the First Avenue site and the Hasbrook Park Pavilion roof. What else is going on? There's a DEC zero emission grant for EV infrastructure that's due at the end of February that Kingston is applying to. The organics program is going quite well, the Kingston Organics. So far, 51 tons of food has been diverted, and they're looking into a garbage truck that's possibly using renewable diesel. They also looked into an electric truck, but I guess they're exploring their options. We're having a paint recycling event, which I guess is sort of climate related, but environmental related, that might also interest EMC people. It's going to be May 31st in the Herzog's kind of lot, and so anybody can bring their old paint to be properly recycled.
Their old
paint.
Oh, pink.
Like old
yeah.
jeans. Yeah.
Great.
And then, yeah, that is, I would say those are kind of the top line things. And we just had our repair cafe, which we're a sponsor of this past Saturday, which apparently was a big success. And there was even a reporter there. So it was in the Freeman, I guess. And so that's still going strong. The Repair Cafe. Rest in peace, John Wackman.
Can I?
I think that's about it.
I just want to say on that, I have good news, and this will check another item off. The UCRA is moving forward with a reuse innovation center.
Oh, great.
That's also going to include C&D recycling. And I am just thrilled. It's an expensive undertaking.
C&D?
Construction and demolition.
Oh, construction and demolition.
And I've been wanting to bring forward a mandatory law about to separate C&D for recycling and have it again be phased in the way the composting should be. There needs to be more work on that. But to start with any project that gets public funding, whether it's county funding, federal funding, well, there used to be federal
yes.
funding.
Back in the good old days.
Yeah. And that way, for example, Golden Hill, they demolished that. They should have done deconstruction. And, yes, there was an issue with asbestos, but the asbestos had to be removed anyway for the demolition, so it wasn't. But there are places where, for example, all historic buildings, and there are all different laws already as models for C&D recycling. And the reason I thought of starting with anything that it has public funding is that that can be the pilot. Those materials can end up at the Resource Recovery Agency going through their C&D recycling process. And once the kinks are worked out, then it could be expanded to all C&D projects over a certain amount. One of the reasons that's so important is that sheetrock is one of the major causes of odor in landfills. And we're already removing food waste. So but right now it's all going not to our landfill but to Seneca Meadows, and sheetrock, when it breaks down, releases hydrogen sulfide, which is the rotten egg smell. So Taylor in Orange County pioneered recycling of sheetrock, and so if we use the C&D recycling facility to pull out sheetrock, we can send it to Orange County, and it can actually get ground up and recycled. They have a process that actually Tom Kakandas helped develop. Taylor did processed all of the waste from the World Trade Center.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
that was a big job.
And they pulled things apart. They found wedding rings, people's,
all
different.
That.
And what could be recycled was, and what was not, was ground up and used as landfill cover. So they've done a lot. They have a project that has not yet been funded, but it's called it's a biogas, where they take garbage and put it over hot sand, and it's not incineration, but it creates gases that can then be burned for energy. So the RRA was ready to site a landfill in Mulwarsing, and they've kind of put that on a temporary hold, and they're in the process of looking at other possibilities. So that's a quick update there. But I'm thrilled that they're moving on the Reuse Innovation Center, which we will name after John.
That's so nice. And where is it going to be again?
There are three possible locations, but the best location is at the Ulster County Airport or adjacent to it, in a facility that was the central facility for Sun Common, but Sun Common went out of business. Or
Sunwise, maybe?
What?
Sunwise?
Sunwise. Yeah, but
they were right next to the airport.
Yeah, but when we were there, I thought they were saying they did a tour. And the facility is that facility of the three of them is ideal. One of the facilities is over at the former IBM site, and I forget where the third is. But this is directly across the highway from where UCRA headquarters are. So if things are brought there, they can either redirect people, or if they pull things out, they can send them over. And it's...
Here we go.
Yeah, so Chris Hewitt and I are going to sponsor a budget amendment to find a way to fund that. And it's been drafted, but it needs to be fleshed out a little more. And we also are meeting with the executive branch, UCRA, and the representatives of the legislature to figure out how to fund it, because there's some debate about where the funding's going to come from. But it is actively moving forward, so that's really good news, because if we can divert all the waste that can be diverted, it's going to be less trucks to go to any, hopefully, county-wide landfill, less trucks, less odor, pull out the toxics, already compost. They're looking to also expand their composting facility and do more composting locally. Greenway has a system in New Paltz that's working really well, as well as the composting at the landfill. So my thought is, if we divert the most waste we can keep out of a landfill, then wherever the landfill is sited, it can be smaller and still last longer and be less onerous, less truck traffic, less odors. So that's my speech. And I think that takes care of all of the implementing food waste. Food Waste Prevention and Recovery Act. It is half a ton. Any facility that generates more than half a ton is supposed to be composting or sending it for anaerobic digestion. But the highest in that hierarchy is, if it's edible food, get it to a food pantry or a farmer for animal feed. So if to use it as a source of food, and then if not, either compost it on site or use a hauler that will take it to a composting facility. And what I've been hoping is that we could work with the Chamber of Commerce and do a composting expo and have the haulers and the businesses that are already participating. SUNY New Paltz is a perfect example. In all the dorms, the students automatically compost every bit of food waste.
That's amazing.
They're trained, they know how to do it.
Great.
Yeah. So, and Frost Valley YMCA, Mohawk Mountain House. So feature the good examples, have the vendors that handle the compost there, and do that level of education and then go back and engage the Department of Health in enforcement, because the Department of Health has to check these facilities. And if they see they're not composting, they can let them know and then let the enforcement officer know and not slap a fine on them right away, but give them a chance to, you know, participate. And if then they're resistant, then make an example out of them. So, anyway, that's my concern, and I would like that to be one of our projects, because it certainly is a climate solution, and we can talk more about it, but how to, you know, maybe we create an expo and ask, rather than trying to get the chamber to do it, because I have talked to them and they're filled up for this year with various different projects, but you know, maybe this is something we would undertake with Energy Environment and any of the EMC people that want to help, but to have this year, one way or another, create that expo so that I think when people see the good examples, they're more willing to participate. And it really shouldn't cost them more, even though it's a separate collection, because food waste is heavy. And if you're not sending food waste, you're not paying for tipping fees for food waste, or the tipping fee is half or a fraction of garbage. So the hauler is saving by having less expensive tipping fee, and that saving should balance out for the extra collect. And it does at SUNY New Paltz. That's all been documented. So, but seeing these good examples will get participation, and then you're only dealing with the laggards who don't, who refuse to participate.
Yeah, you may never get them.
That's right. That's right. So we are through the agenda. How are we doing time?
We're
10:08.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can report on Marlboro really quick if you guys are fine with that.
Oh, sure.
I can report from Marlboro's
Yes.
No, no, you're all good. So same thing with us going on. We have, like, a lot of residential or public interest in, like, conservation advisory committee matters, like related to land use and planning and zoning stuff, and then it drops off way more for our Climate Smart Communities committee meetings. It's like, you know, basically the core members, so trying to garner interest in that is like an ongoing thing. Another thing we just completed with the help of Cornell Cooperative Extension, this like kind of social media engagement plan, and they helped us with some emergency preparedness things. We'll get points for both of them. Another thing is that the county, they, during their community climate action plan, they contracted with ICLEI to do community GHG audits for all of the municipalities. I don't know if the Department of Environment ever sent those out, but they're available on their participate site. So if you just take their updated one with the data from 2022, slap it along with the 2010 data that NYSERDA did, which is, it's just another community GHG audit, and then you write up a little profile about how this data is informational, you can get like 12 to 16 points through the Climate Smart Communities program. So getting the word out to other municipalities or other CSCs for that is probably important. And then, just so other people are aware, Partners for Climate Action just opened up their Youth Climate Action grant. I think this is the second round, but for 15 to 25-year-olds applying for any kind of climate action proposal or climate solution, you can apply for $1,000 to $5,000 in funding.
What's that called?
The Partners for Climate Action Youth
Climate
Action Grant, or Climate Action youth grant, something along those lines, but they're pretty good about accepting. I don't know how many, like, they don't get an abundance of applications, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So if you put an application, have a decently strong proposal, and they'll work with you on it, you know, right there you can get $1,000 to $5,000 dollars for that grant. For, it's really broad, anything climate action or climate solution oriented or anything.
For
so.
People in the Hudson, kids in the Hudson Valley.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I don't know if they go by the 7 municipality or the 9 or what, mm-hmm. but yeah, at least Ulster County is included in that.
Can you send a paragraph to me and to Liz?
Yeah, sure, I can send it to you. Any municipalities that have any youth 15 to 25 on theirs, they can apply in their name and get help from the committee. But yeah, it's I think they released it a couple days ago, and the turnaround is like the end of March, so you have about a month. But but their team will work with you on it if you have questions or anything. But yeah, I can send that along.
Because then we'll send it to the. And I think if people get news like that, that sort of makes them more receptive to filling out a survey or attending. A webinar with Jen or something like that. So that would be a great thing to send around, and we don't have to wait a month.
Yep. I can send people like a, do I have one with me? I should. I could send people one of these as like a reward for filling out a survey.
I love that. I have that. Yeah.
Those are great.
The bamboo.
Yeah. I keep one in the car.
If they need an incentive.
It is a nice one.
Not a big box of them.
Oh, good. All right.
But that was pretty much it for Marlboro.
Okay. Excellent. Well, those are good things to share. I don't know how many people actually read the minutes, but when you send that, I'll just take a look and see if there are a couple of highlights to add in. And do you want to send around a picture? Well, when the survey's ready,
okay, yes.
we'll have a picture of that as an incentive. All right, well, I think we've made some progress. Yeah? And thank you all. Any other old business, new business? I think we're kind of caught up. We got through our agenda by hook and by crook. And so at this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Okay. This meeting is adjourned at just about close to 8 o'clock. Okay. Thank you.